This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome in, listeners, now 98 Rock, California's rock station in Sacramento, California. Also, our friends at Rock 105, Chattanooga's rock station in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and 1210 The Man in Miami, Florida. A Men's Room positive question for you today. Positive. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola. Jason, who lent a helping hand?
So myself and my brother were going down the highway in a snowstorm, and it was his first time driving in a storm that was really thick. And what happens is that he ended up fishtailing and crashing the front of our car, destroying our front headlights, and it was early morning, dark out, so it was really dangerous because no one could have seen us. At the same time, if they did, they wouldn't be able to brake fast enough, and then they would hit us head on because we were facing traffic at that point. So we're panicking, and we turn all the lights on in the car, trying to call our parents. I'm in a shock. All of a sudden, a white truck pulls up behind us, and a big guy just knocks on our window, checks if we're okay, and he ends up lighting flares and putting them in front of our car to let people know that there was a car accident on the highway here. And then as the situation got controlled, when police came finally and we got a hold of our parents, he just disappeared. We got no name. We didn't even thank him because we're still in shock. And till this day, we just don't know who he is. So probably an angel. We don't know.
Now, you know what's funny is that guy's telling the same story, like these two ungrateful sons of bitches.
Didn't even say thanks.
I said, they didn't even say thank you.
I gave up two fireworks from 4th of July.
So I just left.
You know what, though? That's very cool. I have one of those parents in my life who is that guy. As far as he's got the emergency road kit in the back of his car at all times. It was like standard. Yeah. As soon as I was able to drive, it was like one of my first Christmas gifts. Like, I pulled this thing out, I'm like, what is this reflecting triangle?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what is this stuff? And basically, it's exactly what it was. First aid kit. There was a bunch of other stuff in there. Flashlight. Extra pairs. I don't know. Threw socks in there. Something like
clean
that.
Clean underwear.
Yeah. Blanket. I mean, seriously. But yeah. All that crap. And it was all flares and the whole deal, just in case. Tape, you know, reflective tape and the whole deal.
See, there's people doing all this good stuff, right?
Yeah.
They're all prepared. I'm trying to think of, like, anything good I've done. And there's things where the perception of the person on the receiving end thinks I did something spectacular. But what? And the only thing I can come up with where I quote unquote save someone's day is giving my freaking daughter an enema. Like, that's the best. But I'm at an event at her school. They're raising money. And I get a call from my parents, I don't know, like an hour into this thing, like, hey, your daughter's constipated. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, things happen, man. Whatever. All right. An hour later, my mom just keeps blowing me up. Finally, I'm like, what? She's like, look, your daughter is sobbing on the toilet. Now, if you had told me before I had a kid that I would feel heartbroken because someone was sobbing on the toilet, I'd have told her you're smoking crack. Turns out, she's sobbing on the toilet. This kills me. So I come home. My father has run to the store to buy two enemas, which he's very grumpy about because he points out, I was not thinking this at the time, but when the only thing you put on the counter at your enemas and you're over 70 years old, no one believes that they're not for you. I digress.
And a Snickers bar. You know, like something else weird.
Right.
There. You know,
like, nothing
else. He probably grabbed something else.
Unsweetened tea.
No, he didn't. The only two things he bought. He was grumpy about it. But so I have to do an enema. I hadn't done an enema, man. My daughter doesn't want to do it. Whatever. We go through this process, and it works. I'll say that. It works. But I always remember after she finished her business, and I'm dressed in a suit because I have to go back to the school function, right? So it's a ridiculous thing. I'm sitting in a bathroom with a little girl pooping out of the toilet. And it takes like an hour, the process. But at the end of this, right, she gets herself together, and I always remember she puts her little hands on my cheeks, and, I mean, looks me straight in the eye, which she never does, and just says, "Thank you, Dad."
Mm-hmm.
That's my heroism.
That's right.
My heroism. I helped a little girl poop.
There was a baseball-sized one back in the back of the men's stall the other day after work. And I was going to come back and tell you guys, but you were already chatting there. So I was like, you know what? You'll find it if you find it. It was just amazing how round it was. You know what I mean? Like, it was,
yeah.
It looked like, did you see it?
I didn't, but I'm just picturing it. Sounds amazing.
It was.
I think I know who did it.
I've never had a perfect orb. You know what I mean?
At the time that you spotted it.
Like that you could roll it down a hill.
At the time you spotted it, it was a little bit after I had gone to the bathroom. In this amount of time, not enough time had gone by for someone to do what you described mm-hmm. had been done. However, when I walked into the restroom, and this is right after the show, a coworker of ours was in there washing his hands.
Oh, okay.
All right? And then he left. And then when you came out, I don't know, 4 minutes later, told me that. I'm pretty sure he's the one to lay down the law.
I didn't want to flush it, and I didn't, because I wanted others to see it.
Right.
Men's Room Positive Question, what was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jess. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Jess, what was the situation?
So, I'm so sorry, Mike Hawk, because originally what I was going to tell you guys, you know, it's actually kind of remedial to the current situation, but someone who has pulled me out of a bad situation or pulled me out of water, whatever you want to call it, basically...
Was it water or situation?
Because if it was water, let's call it water.
Right.
Right. I don't go, I'm going to go take a situation.
My friend, what?
Go ahead.
So what I told my cock was that I was at my friend's Dirty 30 and I slipped on some rocks that were covered in moss and I got these really cool scars, nothing broken or anything. That was what I was going to say, but to be honest with you, really who's pulling me out of the water right now is a few friends, because one of our friends was murdered and the person who did this is still on the loose, and another friend of mine who I won't name, who's a news anchor, is going to air the story tonight on Q13, and that's all I've got to say about that. So I'm sorry, Mike, didn't mean to throw you into the bus.
We don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
That didn't make any sense.
Okay, so my friend was murdered and they're looking for the person who killed him, and how? 13 Fox is going to air the story tonight.
Okay.
So who lent a helping hand?
Wait. Miles, what was that?
I said, who lent a helping hand?
Are
you saying the Q13 lent a helping hand?
Well, yeah, because that was my friend who...
We didn't understand who you were saying lent a helping hand.
That was, yeah.
All we knew is that you slipped on rocks at one point, right. and then your friend was murdered.
And then you got
later.
Some really cool scars, and then from there, you have a dead friend, and they're going to air a
total. I know. It's kind of anxiety-inducing, but basically, they're going to talk to his family and stuff, and it's a really just bad situation. But, cool story about scars, though. If you want to hear about it.
I don't know about that. I think we're good. I don't need to hear anymore.
That was too much.
That was awkward.
Listen, I did everything I could to try to process everything I was hearing, and I did not choose to do this. My brain just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It said I'm done.
It's a positive question. What was the situation, and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Caitlin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Hola.
My story is pretty short. It was about 2 years ago. I was driving on I-5 just past the Tacoma Mall. And I see a big puff of smoke come on the inside. I'm heading northbound. Apparently, a car had hit my friend. Not at the time, but became my friend. I hit her and pushed her into the center median. All of her airbags deployed. She's stuck inside of the car, but I don't know this at the time. No one's stopping. So I pull over on the shoulder.
Mind you, what is happening? Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
No. Start all over again. It's a men's room positive question.
No, it's not.
What was the situation? Who lent a helping hand? Who helped out? Who saved the day?
You know
Yeah.
No, you saw somebody choking on a Cheez-It.
Right.
You gave him the Heimlich.
Or a garlic knot. You know what I mean? Something.
Same gave my daughter something. An enema.
No way.
And then it went to murder. Too?
That was years ago. My uncle had to give her the Heimlich.
She was choking
she
on a Cheez-It?
She did it twice?
Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
Wait. Not garlic knots both times.
No. One was the Cheez-It.
Were you there for the Cheez-It?
Jesus, man.
One Cheez-It or like a whole bunch of them?
I don't know.
I'm going to say a bunch because they turned into
that
taste.
Would you say she was chipmunking again?
Yes.
And they were, and she needed
and
something
she
to drink.
She starts talking. And
right.
That's literally, I swear to God.
Were you there?
It sounds so positive or so weird, but like there's plenty of times I will just look at my mom and she'll start talking and I'll go, chew. Stop talking to me and chew.
But you're saying there are two times you know of that she
two times I know of
required the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
Most people, I would think, don't even need it once.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Do you think she's had an experience outside where she didn't want to tell you about it because she thought she'd be worried?
Sure.
She would
okay,
never.
Right.
She
would. Seriously.
I'm going to say, knowing your mom, knowing how she is, how little she'd want to tell you, and she already knows, I'm going to say it has happened since you've been old enough to recognize what it's really about, probably two or three other times.
Oh, of course.
And there's, she'll tell you on her deathbed, like, it's the most important thing to tell you to. It happened three other times. And be like, I know.
Anybody else in your family? Go through that?
Choke? No. I mean, I've had... Well, you guys saw me choke on an oyster.
I know.
Yeah, but you were all right.
I was. But there was a scary moment. Are you choking on an oyster?
It's not. It's good.
Hey, Robin, let's do this. Why don't we just get the show open, ready to go again? And then we'll come back and we'll act like...
We're going to run it back.
We're just going to start this whole damn thing over again, you know what I mean? And no one had heard any of that.
Men's Room positive question. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand? You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A woman named Lena Hansen was mauled by a bear in 2008 while she was working on a property. Isolated in the wilderness. Black bear attacked her when her back was turned. Rushing out of the woods, it chewed on her face until she poked it in the eye, and her dogs rushed in to keep it off while she ran to her car. Hansen's story is pretty incredible. She wrote a whole book about it called Chomp, Chomp, Chomp. And also did a discussion on Reddit, and she talked about some of the things that happened on what motivated her to survive. After it had gnawed on my head for a while, I decided to open my eyes and look and see what was killing me. Its expression was so bland and businesslike that enraged me. So I managed to jab my thumb into its piggy little eye. It then let go of my face long enough for me to yell for my dogs. Once the dogs came running, it was diverted long enough for me to get up and try to escape down the creek bed. I was more pissed off than you can possibly imagine, thinking of the pleasures my grisly death would give the rednecks back in town. What was the pain like, they asked? Having a baby was a piece of cake in comparison, maybe like being smacked in the head by an anvil. Once I was safe in the helicopter, the pain became overwhelming. It took a while for me to
get it together to remain conscious and upright so that I didn't aspirate and drown in my own blood. But basically, she did drive her car for a while until she could get where the helicopter could come and pick her up. And she said it was like the wackiest Disney ride ever. I alternated between elation and despair, but figured, what the heck? I'm not likely to live through this anyway, so here's my one chance to drive like a total D-head with impunity. Fortunately, the dirt track was so remote that the likelihood of running into anyone else was approaching was pretty nil. Frankly, I expected to go careening over the cliffside, so I just spun the wheel, stomped on the brakes as the spirit moved me. No music, just my laughter as I was sort of crying. At this point, my eyeball was not hanging down onto my face, but it was bitten and the other eyelid torn off. I only allowed myself a brief look into the rearview mirror, but it was so awful, I just kept laughing and I kept driving. When I got to the fire station, my concern was that when they saw me, they'd faint, so I decided to try for levity. So I walked into the garage bay and yelled, "Honey, I'm home." Then proceeded to give them every bit of personal information I could. As far as the dogs who saved the day and helped her get away. First off, they both lived. Not that much worse for wear. Once I called them, they came running. I don't remember much after that, but there was a lot of fur and blood and growling and yelping. They diverted the bear long enough for me to get up and escape. Deke was a massive, and RK is an Irish wolfhound. So you have to remember, these are big-ass dogs.
Ah, the old Irish wolfhound. Hi there, you black bear. I think you messed up with the wrong woman.
As it turns out, the two were very best breeds I could have in that situation, as the mastiff instinctively goes for ground, and the wolfhound keeps it at bay. On how she thinks about the bear, she says, "I rather identified with the beast in as much as it struck me that it was a refugee seeking a safe haven, just as I was. I was tracked for several days, but the hunters were unable. It was tracked, but they were unable to catch it. In some perverse chamber of my heart, I'd like to think it's still out there. Only now it's 4 years older and 200 pounds heavier, and it's waiting for someone else to eat." Our mentor positive question, what was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you doing?
Hola.
Jared, what was the situation?
So I work in private EMS for Tacoma. I work on an ambulance. And we're going to a call out across the bridge. And one of our dispatchers messages us in all caps, "Please help the ambulance you're coming up on." And then proceeds to send another message, "Please, you guys need to stop." And my partner's like, "I'm driving." My partner goes, "What?" And goes to respond and then calls us and says, "Hey, you guys need to get out and help this crew." And I'm thinking like, "Oh, okay. You know, it's probably like, you know, like a CPR in progress or something." And my partner goes, "No, it's a patient trying to escape and they're on involuntary orders." So I get time to throw one glove on. We pull over on the side of 16 and I sprint into the rig and I see this kid like all tensed up, trying to get out, and there's two people back there trying to hold him down. Up, I grab the kid by the shoulders and I slam him back down to the gurney. I put my forearm on his, you know, on him to keep him down. I look at the guys and I smile. I'm like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And you know, the guy goes, "Oh, you know, he headbutts and bites." And sure enough, as he saw my arm, he was about to try to take a chunk out of it. So I moved my arm and put it across his forehead to keep him down, and off that guy for what felt like half an hour until state troopers finally showed up. And then one guy showed up and he went to go grab him and put his arm. The guy went to go bite the trooper and he said, "Don't do it. I will tase you." And the kid kind of put his head back like, "What's going on?"
So what was it? What was the guy on? Do you know?
He wasn't on anything. He was having a manic schizophrenic episode.
Okay.
Oh, gee. Wow. That seems even scarier.
Right. Who's yelling at you?
Yeah, so he was, huh?
Who's yelling at you?
Oh, no, my girlfriend's yelling at the dogs. Oh, okay. The dogs are jerks.
Okay.
Get off the couch!
Because the dogs are jerks.
Dogs are jerks.
Yeah. So what ends up happening with this guy?
If you guys want a dog, just go and Venmo me like $35 and I'll bring it to you.
$35?
What kind of dog?
You should be paying us for what it sounds like.
No, we got her for $35 and she's been all right, dog. But yeah, state troopers came by and two more showed up and eventually got the guy in restraints, and my partner and I got back in the rig and I looked over there with a big old grin on my face. "You want to do it again?" And she's like, "No." I had so much fun.
Okay. Now back to the dog being $35. What kind of dog is it?
It's a Border Collie German Shepherd Calahula mix. So she's a Heinz dog.
I think that's normally about a $26 dog, isn't it?
Yeah, once you put Border Collie in there, bro, I'm like,
Yeah. Little rambunctious at the house?
That's the kind of dog you give to somebody. Here.
Right.
Hey, no.
How long?
I'll give you $100 and this dog.
How long have you had the dog?
She's 7 months old right now, so we've had her for about 6 months.
What does your girlfriend think of the dog? Does she agree that the dog's a moron?
Oh, it is absolutely. It is her dog, and she gets very mad when I try to sell her to random people when I see them.
Well, you know what? Make the price right. Then she'll be happy. $35 is too cheap. If you get $200, she'll be all right with that.
Yeah, get $200.
Go get four more of them.
Well, look, get $200 for the dogs and take her out to dinner with the money.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Win-win. Men's Room positive question. See?
That dog will find a nice home now.
Yeah, where people want him. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Sam. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Sam, what was the situation?
So I was about 8 years old, and my dad took me camping out by the Little Michelle River, kind of by Eatonville. And he made me wear this whistle, so if I got lost, I could blow my whistle. And we were climbing down this big hill, and I slipped, and my whistle got caught on this root that was sticking out of the hill, and I was choking. And my dad, like, sprinted up this hill and saved my life.
Wow.
You can't even do the whistle.
Could you blow the whistle as it was choking you?
No, I was like hanging by my neck.
Right, I'm saying that. So the very thing that's supposed to alert him to the fact that you're in danger is actually killing you at this point.
Correct. So he put me in danger, but he also saved me.
Right, I know. I'm just saying it's ironic that the thing that he gave you to make sure that you would be okay is the thing that almost killed you.
Yeah, it's like your life vest sinking you to the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly, and I did not want to wear the stupid whistle anyways, and so I was kind of mad at the time, but now I, like, appreciate it.
Well, yeah, I understand kid logic. I told you I didn't want to wear the whistle.
Yeah, that's what you did when you were a kid, man. If you needed it and your parents wanted you to have it and trusted you to keep it, it was around your neck. Keys to the house, around your neck. Everything, around your neck. That way, for whatever reason, they just thought if you put it around the kid's neck, he's not going to lose it.
That's it. He's going to lose everything.
Yeah, put it in a pocket, going to lose it. Put it in a jacket pocket, it's gone.
But I feel like as a kid, I didn't have a lot of pockets.
Didn't have standard, like, tough skin jeans, like, the rest of
front. Yeah, but I mean, I wore a lot of, like, sweatpants and, like, mesh shorts and stuff as a kid. Like,
yeah,
back in the day, like, nowadays, I'm going to sound old, but nowadays, you can get pockets in those things.
Yeah.
But back then, it was unheard of.
Yeah, you never had pockets in sweatpants, man. But you're right, you tie it around the neck because kids lose everything. Every day of my life, at least 20 minutes of it is dedicated to finding the things that the children swear they've looked everywhere. And, of course, you do the parent thing. You have not looked everywhere because it is frickin' somewhere, right? And it can be iPad, keys, lunch for school, the homework, the bag, the shoes, one of the shoes. You name it, doesn't matter, man. And this is every day of your life.
As an adult, if I can't find something, I'm very annoyed.
We are,
but like keys, wallet, like
but you
things,
put your keys in your wallet in the same place
spot
every time when you come home, right?
Right.
That's
so
why
I lost,
we get mad.
I lost the knit cap, and I was convinced it was gone, so I bought a new one.
Then you found it?
Yeah, it was under a table.
See,
I still don't know what the hell I was doing on the ground looking under that table.
Men's Room positive question. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Jeff, who lent the helping hand?
Well, you know, many moons ago, when I was a younger man, I went roller skating as we did growing up right outside of D.C., and I fell onto a piece of glass, which put itself about an inch into my leg. I'm stand up, I'm bleeding like I stuck big, and 8 feet away, washing his car, was a surgeon from Walter Reed Hospital.
Did he do surgery on you right then and there?
Didn't do the surgery, but he sure stopped the bleeding.
Okay, that's good. I thought you were going to say John Boucher swooped you up off the ground and took you to the hospital.
What roller skating rink?
I'm sorry?
Where were you? Like, what roller skating rink?
It wasn't in a rink. Back then, we used to just roller skate up and down the sidewalks.
Thought maybe you knew the one.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yeah, you got lucky on that.
Way back when.
Yep. But you also pointed out you're outside of D.C. And one thing I know about that area, same with Baltimore, if you fall on the sidewalk, you either fall onto glass, a partially eaten chicken bone, or a used condom. Like, these are the things. Dude, in any given spot in those two cities, if you fall down, you need a tetanus shot, you need surgery, or you're going to be in the mood for chicken.
I remember seeing my first used condom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my thing is, how do they end up there? Why are they having sex, like, in front of my house, and then just pull it off and drop it there? Like, they're just on the sidewalk in random place.
I think it's just about rolling down the window, dropping it out.
Yeah, I guess,
oh,
man.
Okay.
I mean, but they're everywhere. Because at one point, especially when you're a teen and you're trying to get laid, but you're not getting laid, it would piss me off because I'm like, apparently everyone in Baltimore is having sex. Everyone.
Yeah.
Because their condoms are everywhere.
We always find them by the baseball field.
Well, yeah.
And it's very annoying. It's like, same thing. Like, we were teenagers. It's like, everybody's having sex but us.
Except
us. It's the dugout. We talked about
that. That's exactly
the dugout. That's the spot.
That's high school condoms right there.
A men's room positive question. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. Well, the situation is I was up north of Santa Cruz surfing and was on the way back. And we're going down a long straightaway down Highway 1. Heading back towards town, and a bunch of guys on crotch rockets are coming up behind me pretty fast. And I rode motorcycles, so I kind of moved over so they could see what was in front of me. And then they start passing me, but they're like, I don't know, like beginner riders or something, because they're passing me one at a time, kind of tentatively. And I'm just like, this doesn't look really good. And so there's about three or four cars in front of me, and all of them, one at a time, picking off cars. And I'm like, you guys are running out of road. You need to get this done. And the biggest dude was in the front. He's a big guy on a Ducati 900. And right as he started going up the hill, he's passing the guy. He apparently saw a car coming the other way. And he ended up jumping off the front end of a lowered Honda Prelude.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a bad deal. I was taking a hit at the time, driving with my knee. And I look up.
Wait, hold on. When you say you were taking a hit, are you saying that you're lighting a bowl and watching this happen?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're saying that he used the front of that Prelude, which had a low nose, as a ramp and actually was launched off the car?
Yeah. You're picking up what I'm laying down.
Okay. Now, this is pretty exciting.
It is. It actually was. So, I wasn't watching at the time when it happened, when the impact happened. Because I was taking a hit. But I look up, and I see, and I can't identify what's happening. I see a human in the air, like 30 feet in the air, two pieces of motorcycle, and I quickly figured out, you know, I could do the math. I knew exactly what happened when I took a second and saw what was happening. And,
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
We have a new record today.
No F-bombs.
Yeah, yeah, we can't say the F-word on the air. Trust me, you would have heard it.
Sorry, guys. All right.
But he went really, really far.
Okay.
Really far, and so I realized, as I'm seeing everybody slowing down, obviously nobody's going to be coming towards me in oncoming traffic, and nobody's probably going to do anything about this anytime soon. And so I'm in my little Yoda pickup, and I downshift, and I pin it in the left lane, and I drive right up on top of him. And I expected him to be totally imploded from impact, but he wasn't. He was totally intact, and there was no blood, and he landed in like a hay pile or some random soft thing that totally absorbed his impact, and I couldn't tell if he was breathing or not, but I'm not a paramedic, and so people were starting to gather, and I was like, who's got a phone? And the kid who had the Prelude, he like held up his phone, he's like shaking, and then somebody else came up and was like, hey, I'm a EMT or whatever, and I was like, okay, dude, go do it. And I called 911, and all I can say is that I gave him his best chance of survival by acting quick.
Yeah, you did.
And that's the guy who's doing smoking a bowl driving down the road.
I'm also glad that the guy in the Prelude was okay, because the size of that bike, the size of that car at that point in time, and you said the bike went into two pieces. The kid in the Prelude is lucky that he didn't get injured as well.
Well, let me ask you this, though, man.
Something out of a movie. Yeah, those kids were just stunned.
So you're doing the right thing. You did the right thing. You show up on the scene. But there is that thing about smoking a bowl in the car. So when the cops show up and all that, have you left at this point?
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, stick around to, you know, fill out a whatever, you know, report, incident report. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get right on that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I took off.
Did it kill your high? I couldn't do
anything further at that point.
Sure.
Did the adrenaline kill your high?
Honestly, I don't think so.
All right. How were the waves that day?
Oh man. You still breathe them,
bro. That's good weed. Yeah,
I know.
Were they tasty waves that day?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was still wearing my wetsuit at the time, expecting to go into town and get some more waves.
Oh, so you were still good. You were just looking for a different break.
Yeah.
This is a very California-type story.
This is right.
I'm impressed with your surfer talk.
You're in Santa Cruz, you know what I mean? Yeah. You got some tasty ones, then you head down south, man.
It's San Clemente.
Launches 30 feet in the air, man. Hitting a bowl, and then just kept on going and caught more waves.
And stayed high.
I
got my tool in the truck. Did you have a dog with a bandana?
Actually, yeah. Her name was Mary Jane.
No!
Of course you did.
Attaboy.
All right. Golden Retriever?
Lab and Pit.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it had some lab in it. Yeah.
She is amazing, man.
Did she ever jump on that board with you, bro?
She wasn't so into being on things that moved. But okay. She definitely swam around in the ocean while I got waves. And she was a hardcore Cali dog. She did all the things.
Cool.
I dig it, man.
I feel bad we brought it up, man.
I know.
She was such a good dog.
It really was, man.
So, you nailed that, dude.
Oh, man. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
A puppy has Memphis Animal Services to thank for his newfound life after officers rescued him from deep inside a processing pit at a meat plant. They're not sure how the dog ended up at the bottom of the pit, but the incredible rescue was posted in a video to their social media. They got the call of a dog stuck about 12 feet down inside a meat processing pit. And they said officers were on the scene at the plant. Officers said the 68-pound dog, now named McGregor, was completely out of energy by the time that they arrived. He was just, well, he was done. He basically had given up at that point. We were his only chance to get him out. They said they're unsure how long McGregor was inside the pit before he was noticed by staff, but with how tired he was likely trying to put himself out of the pit for quite a while, and he could no longer help pull himself out, so an officer had to go down into the grimy, slimy meat processing pit. Only McGregor's head and back legs were accessible for the officer, but they were able to attach a two poles together and get around the dog's neck and tie him up, and they hoisted him right out of there. Pretty sure he was in there because it was a meat processing pit.
Yeah, look, there's one of two reasons a dog's in a meat processing plant pit. Either you were processing the meat of dogs, or the dog smelled the meat and wanted to eat it.
Either way, it's a men's room positive story and a men's room positive question.
Positive!
What was the situation, and who lent a helping hand? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
Alan, what was the situation?
So, before my wife and I got married, I was like 19, and woke up from a morning whiz, and just started getting this pain. And when I woke her up, I was like, something's wrong, we need to go to the hospital. And her dad woke up and was like, I think you got a kidney stone. I didn't believe him, so we went down into town, and she called my mom because, you know, something was going on, and she told us to go to the house, and I've had constipation problems all my life, and so my mom thought, being an RN, that's what the problem was, and she decided that she was going to give me an enema.
Wait, you're 19?
I was 19.
How awkward is that? At least my daughter, sorry, enema stories on the men's room. My daughter was like 6 or 7. I felt a little better about it. I can't imagine my 19-year-old son say, Dad, hook a brother up.
Yeah, he called me.
Yeah, but call Uncle Miles.
Yeah. I'm on my way.
The worst part was my wife, we weren't married yet. She was sitting right there while my mom did it.
Oh, God. I mean, what's going through your head?
Was that legitimately the problem? Was that necessary, or did you have a kidney stone?
No, it was kidney stone. It ended up being a kidney stone.
So
went to the ER.
You got an enema by your mother in front of your future wife,
yeah.
And in the end, it's a kidney stone. How mortifying is that moment?
It was terrible. I wanted to die. It was not great.
Would you say it was your mom that lent a helping hand?
Yes, it was my mom that lent a helping hand.
So I'm assuming because you hadn't gotten married yet, you hadn't got that adventurous sexually yet. So that was an area where your girlfriend did not want to travel?
Yeah, she didn't want
to. Okay, that makes sense.
Does that still come up, say, Thanksgiving dinner?
No, it hasn't, actually. You guys are the only ones that know the story. Well,
sure.
And all the listeners.
It's not just us.
Yeah.
And do you still...
This is not
come up on somebody's Thanksgiving dinner.
This is not a private line.
Aren't kidney stones one of those things that continue as you grow?
I have 3 in my left side and 2 in my right side still.
So you still know that they're in there?
Yeah.
And how can you feel them?
No, I don't feel them unless they decide they want to work their way through the urethra.
Now, is there anything you can do to speed up or prevent that process, or does it just happen if it happens?
I got them from drinking energy drinks, actually. Huh. That's what the urologist said.
Okay. Huh. And did they x-ray your Jimmy and they can see the stone sitting in there?
No, they did an ultrasound on the kidneys.
Okay. All right.
They put some, like, radioactive dye into my blood. And
so you're going to know that exact pain when one begins to pass again based on being 19 years old. You're going to know exactly what it is, right?
Exactly.
How long does it take once you start feeling the pain and you know it's going to start making its long travel to the rest of the world here, how long does that take?
I think it took me 2 weeks to pee it out. And I had actually thought I peed it out because they gave me a cup because they wanted to analyze it.
Right.
I actually peed it out in the doctor's office, bringing them the sample that I thought I had peed out.
Ah, oh, okay. And did you scream? Or is it just like, is it a feeling of relief? Or what's the...
It was relief, yeah. It was 6 millimeters.
Jeez, all right, that's pretty good size.
Ow.
That's bigger than a BB.
Mm-hmm.
It's an airsoft BB, actually.
Okay, yeah, good times. Did it make a ding when it hit the bowl?
Yes, it did. Okay. It hit the cup.
All right. At least you got the audio out of it.
Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Like spitting a cherry
seed.
So,
you have to go through all that. And again, you had to get an enema by your mother in front of your future wife.
Yep.
You realize, though, that your mom had taken care of that area for years.
But again,
you know
you're
what I'm
19.
Saying?
Like, no, they have nothing
19.
To do with each other.
Yeah, I know.
He's 19.
I know.
I mean, they have nothing to do with each other.
You know what I mean? She's cleaned that toilet before.
Sure.
For years and years and years. And
but
now,
he's a man now.
And now he needs a good cleaning. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, listen, I have a daughter. When she's 19, like, don't know. I don't care which
call Uncle show. Miles.
I don't call Miles. She's got a thing.
All right,
I'll be right there.
I'm on my way. And I'm a man.
Wait, where's your problem?
I put the little volunteer fire department siren on top of the car and gun it at 85, 90 miles an hour going down the highway.
I'm on Bieber duty. He's on anima.
Going to do an anima, sir. Get out of my way.
Men's Room positive question. What was the situation and who lent a helping hand?
844-999-OLA. More of your calls in seconds.
Ola, the shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.